anchor holes. Wow. That is a strong statement. We need anchors in our lives, don't we? Let's just bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to lead me and to lead to receive these words. Lord, I thank you. I pray, oh God, that you will use this vessel, just a piece of clay, but you can use it, God, for your glory. I pray that you will speak through me to get the message across, to help us understand that we go through a lot of storms, we go through winds, and we go through turbulence in our lives. We're going through a lot of that today, but there is an anchor that holds the soul secure, and we thank you for that anchor, which is found in the blood and the promises of Jesus Christ. Amen. An anchor holds a vessel in place as it battles the raging winds and tides. And most of you know what an anchor is, but I'm just telling you that's what it's for. This big, heavy steel or iron object. Lord Alfred Tennyson said, "Cast all your cares on God. That anchor holds." I'm here to say that. I agree. The anchor that God has in our lives, if we'll cast our cares on Him, He can carry us through. The anchor of hope that is found in Jesus Christ can take a person through the greatest storms of life. Have you ever seen some people go through a real disappointment or something, and they just fall apart, just come to pieces, and they're ready to give up and die because they don't have that anchor secured? I'm not saying that we don't feel pain when we go through storms. Yes, we will. He didn't say He would be with us to take away the storm. He said He'd be with us in the storm of life. He will be the anchor of your soul, sure and steadfast. This anchor will set your feet on a solid foundation and protect you as the winds of chaos howl. We have a lot of winds of chaos in our world today, but in an age of great change, when morality is scoffed at, when the world even encroaches the borders of the church, when the stern paths of righteousness are frequently avoided, men have chosen substitute anchors to try to hold them in place in the choppy seas of life. But they don't work. They don't hold you secure. Because the wrong anchors are chosen, life loses its value. We know that there are a lot of young people, older people, just people that just despair of life and the storms that come, and they say, "I want to just end it all," and they take their own lives. But there is a security if we have our anchor solid in that foundation in Jesus Christ. But life becomes nothing if you do not have that anchor secured in Christ. Nothing more than a seeming quest for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I know that that's part of our motto. We say that, but there are too many people that are basing their lives on that. I want to be happy. I want to pursue happiness. What satisfies me? But there's more to it than that. The anchor of Jesus Christ is of such quality that no matter how strong the storm is, the heavier the strain that comes upon it, its hold grows deeper and firmer as you have that anchor in Him. The storm, no matter how great, does not drive men from the Savior. It merely anchors their soul deeper in the Rock of Ages. A song written that one of our ladies sang this morning, the chorus, it says, "The anchor holds though this ship's been battered." We go through places where we feel like we're beaten down. Our ship is just battered and beaten up. But it says, "The anchor holds though the sails are torn." Regardless of how much we go through, we still have an anchor that holds. I've fallen on my knees, and there's the key. As I face the raging seas, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. When I come against something, I fall on my knees, and I say, "Lord Jesus, you are the one that carries me through. You are the security. You are the solid foundation," and He is. On October 4th, 1943, I'm sharing with you. My ship set sail for the first time upon the sea of life. And at 5 years of age, I anchored my life, and my hopes, my dreams, my future in Jesus Christ and His promises. There have been many trials and disappointments in my life. I still have those today. There always will be. When we live in this world, we have those. But my anchor holds because God is faithful to His promises. As I've fallen on my knees before Him to face the storms of life, I find Him always faithful. At 16 years of age, my older brother, Phil, wrote a song that expresses the desperate need of each person until he or she makes Jesus the anchor of his or her life. I remember he used to go out and walk in the desert. He was a couple of years older than I, and he was the special child. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But he was one that my father favored because he had a heart after God. And God gave him the song. He said, I sailed one day on a beautiful sea. I sailed, but I knew not where. I sailed life's sea, but was taken up with the pleasures I saw there. I knew not the danger that lay ahead, nor that which lay at my side. I sailed alone on the sea of life, for I sailed without a guide. But then he goes on, he says, but the Lord saw me and saved me. He said, child, I'll pilot thee. The Lord saw me and saved me from the danger on life's storm-tossed sea. The Lord saw me and saved me from a life on a storm-tossed sea. The Lord saw me and saved me from a life on a storm-tossed sea. Now, I sang that from memory. I was only 13. I haven't heard it since, so if it's not right, Phil, if you're watching, just, that's okay. But that's the message. Without Jesus, we're on a sea. We're looking for something, but we don't have it. Once I sailed on life's troubled seas, not knowing where I was going. You say, well, you were so young. Doesn't matter. I was young enough. I knew that I needed a Savior. I knew that I needed a solid foundation. And I even wondered why I was there. I didn't know what my purpose was. My ship was constantly being tossed around by the waves of life, and I felt unworthy to receive God's blessings. But the anchor of my soul, Jesus Christ, saved me from the destruction that awaited me on the sea of life. At 5 years of age, I remember we went to a mission place there in Phoenix, South Phoenix somewhere. They called it Hope Mission, I think. And the preacher brought the message, and I ran. There was conviction that came, and I said, this is what I need. And I ran to the altar and poured out my heart, and I said, oh, God, save me. Give me a life. Give me a solid foundation. I wasn't very old, but your children, that's why we have them go and Ramona teaches them. They need the Word of God because we sometimes don't give them credit for being able to understand and to make that choice. But I made the choice, and it has been a choice that I've never regretted. There are some that would try to tell you that they are the masters of their own destiny. They can decide what's going to happen, but we do not have control over many of the storms that come our way. Most of the storms that come because we would keep them from coming if we could control it. Nothing in this world is certain except for uncertainty. But there is someone and something, an anchor, in whom you and I can place all our trust. We can rely upon Him to keep us safe in the storms of life. Not necessarily from the storms, but in the storms, during the storms. That someone is Jesus Christ, and His promise is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I was about 5 years into my journey on this ship when I found that anchor. I said that before. I took hold of the rope that would anchor me in Christ, so to speak. I grabbed hold of that rope, and Jesus Christ, the Word of God came to me, called me, and chose me. He said, here, daughter, He made me his own, he said, and I had a sense of worth. Catch hold of this rope and anchor your soul in me. I took hold of that rope, that anchor rope, and since that day, life has been a journey of blessings and hope. Yes, I've gone through many heartaches. I've gone through disappointments. But Jesus is always there to see me through. Now I have hope. I know my purpose. I know my destination. With that anchor, you and I can visualize the lights of that other shore. You say, well, you're looking forward to that. No, that's life. And it will lead me and it will lead you to our eternal destination. We were not created to be on this earth forever, but there is a place that we can be with God and in His presence forever. The basis of our spiritual security is the sure promises of God through Jesus Christ. God has given us promises. He never breaks His promise. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should change His mind. What He has spoken, He will perform. The Word tells us that. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, we read that God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater. God is the greatest. He could swear by nobody greater. He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. This is what he told Abraham. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end to all of all dispute. God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of His counsel confirmed. He guaranteed it by an oath that my two immutable, unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. We can be secure knowing He will keep His promise. He made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham waited. How long did he wait? 125 years, was it? A long time. And God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. But we know that we can have a hope. God gives us a promise that we may say, oh, well, that didn't even happen. Why should I, you know, God told me that, but it hasn't happened. Well, did Abraham see it happen right away? He never saw it happen. Never. But his faith did not waver. You say, well, what do you mean he never saw it happen? He had a son, yes. He saw that Isaac was poor. He was the son. But Abraham did not see all of the nations. If today he could look and see that Israel, all of his descendants, God fulfilled His promise, and He will fulfill the promise He makes to you. We don't always see it, but we hold steadfast to that anyway. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Behind that veil, Jesus has become that He is the high priest, where the forerunner has entered for us, Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Very often, we do not understand why disappointments come. Most of the time, we don't understand. And why things happen that seem to be against us. I remember the story I heard of a girl I knew that was engaged to be married. And she was so excited because the love of her life, they were going to be married. She was in an accident and she lost her eyesight. And because she lost her eyesight, he said, I've changed my mind. I don't want to marry you anymore. And she was devastated. She was disappointed. And as a result, she wrote the song, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, Never Let Me Go. God is a lover that will never release you. No matter how many times you stumble and falter, He will hold fast to His word and He will bring it to pass. And sometimes things happen that seem to be against us. I'm reminded of the testimony of Mike Huckabee. I heard it the other day. And when he was governor of Arkansas, he arranged an important meeting with the leader of a foreign nation. You know, he was a man that brought about a lot of good things for our nation and for that state. But he arranged for an important meeting with the leader of this foreign nation. They were sitting at the dinner table. He had accomplished all of this, and he was ready to present it, excited that he had the appointment. And when the phone rang, and the leader received that phone call, to which he felt an urgency to respond. The leader said, "I have to leave. Without explanation, I cannot continue." And Mike said he was so disappointed. The foreign leader left, and Governor Mike Huckabee was distraught because of the cost he had incurred and because everything he had planned to achieve was canceled as a result of this phone call. Everything. The state leaders. Shortly after this disappointment, about an hour later, Governor Huckabee received the message that the plane on which the leader and five other national delegates were flying had crashed, and they were all killed. The very plane that crashed was the plane that Mike would have been flying on with this man to the meeting if it had not been canceled. And he was upset. "God, how could you let this happen?" Sometimes there are things that come in our lives when you say, "God, why did you permit this? I had made so many plans. I had invested my life in this. And all of a sudden, it's just ashes. It fell apart." But God protected him. God knows the future, and he knows how to take care of us. I wonder how many times God has been an anchor for us without our knowledge, without us even knowing. Winds of sorrow and storms of trouble do not mean that God has forgotten his promises to us. Remember Joseph. He had dreams, and he was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, went to prison. Can you imagine the life of Joseph? If you lived in that kind of a life, and it seemed like everything he tried to do went against him, and he was buffeted. He was sold as a slave. But he honored God in spite of all of it. He still submitted to God. And do you know, he would not submit to sexual sin when it was pushed upon him. He'd rather die than to surrender to the immorality of the world. Forgotten by the butler who said he would remember him. He was in the prison, and the butler said, "I'll remember you," but he forgot. Joseph was forgotten again. But God used Joseph to save his people and ultimately bring salvation to us. We received the benefits. If Joseph had not saved those people, been a vessel that God could use, we could not even know Christianity. That was a channel by which we have come to Christ. Joseph was literally a type of Christ. I don't make him on the level, but he was a type. He was a deliverer. And remember how he forgave his brothers. He said, "You meant it for ill, but God did not. He meant it for good." Remember Daniel. He honored God, but was thrown in the lion's pit. Even when the king loved Daniel, he liked him. And in spite of all of that, he was thrown in the pit because the king was tricked, and he signed this with his pen, and he said, "Well, okay, I have to follow through." But Daniel went ahead and prayed anyway, and he was thrown in that pit. And you know how that wasn't eaten by the lions. I mean, they lost their appetite just looking at Daniel because the power of the Holy Spirit was upon him. Remember the three Hebrew boys. They refused to bow to a false god, saying, "Our God is able to save us, but if he doesn't..." Do we say that, or do we say, "I know God's going to deliver me, because if he doesn't, drop through, I throw in the towel"? How many Christians, so-called, throw in the towel if God doesn't do it your way? And if you're not delivered from some heartache or something that comes your way. But they did not. They said, "He's able to save us, but if he doesn't, still we will not bow to a false god." There are so many people that are bowing to the false idolatry, immorality, the things of the world, because they've got the pressure on them, because that's what everybody else is doing, and I don't want to be different. I don't want to dare to be a Daniel or one of the Hebrew boys. I wonder how many of us today would say, "I'll only serve and worship him if he saves me from this trial." Many of us, I have heard people say that. "Well, I'm bitter against God because my baby died. I don't want to have anything to do with him anymore. I knew a young lady that had turned away from God when my husband and I were at Lee College, University, and this young lady had gone astray, and her father was a preacher, but anyway, she went astray, and then she got married, and she wasn't living a Christian life. She had a baby. It was born, and the doctor said, "Your baby is not going to live. It's going to die. There's something wrong." And she says, "Oh, no, God, I'll serve you. If you just will heal my baby. Just keep my baby. I'll serve you." We make these kind of commitments. How many guys in prison say, I'm going to live a life for God. But most of them don't. They don't make that commitment and stand by it. But so she said, "God, and whenever her baby died anyway, then she was so angry at God, and she says, "I hate him. I hate him." Well, that's not a true commitment, is it? And so many of us are like that. But God always keeps his promises, whether we see it or not. Eventually, this girl, by the way, she did repent, and the Lord blessed her, and she saw the Lord did a work in her life. God's promises to Abraham proved true. When God first called Abraham out of paganism and into a relationship with himself, God made a great promise to him. It's a promise that involves the whole world. That is still as true today as when it was spoken some 4,000 years ago. That promise still holds true. The Lord said that, Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I'll show you. He said, separate yourself from the world, the pagan and stuff and the idols. He said, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What a blessing. That sounds great, doesn't it? But then if you read the story of the things that Abraham went through, can you imagine how discouraged he could have been? In fact, he decided, he would have to help God out. He took his maidservant, Sarah's maidservant. That's been a catastrophe and problem still to this day because there's war. When as yet he had no children, God promised that he would make Abraham a great nation. He said that in him, that is through Abraham's offspring, God would bless all the nations of the earth. We are receiving the benefits. We have become Christians. Jesus Christ was presented to us through the offspring that Abraham brought forth. The nations of the earth would be either blessed or cursed, depending on how they responded to Abraham and the promise he was making to him. God fulfilled this promise in general through the Jewish people who would come from Abraham, and in particular through the Lord Jesus, who would be born of the Jewish people as the seed of Abraham. So favor with God came not through the law of Moses, which came later in history. This promise was made before the law was ever given. And it did not come through the law of Moses, but through the promise of God to Abraham. In fact, the Bible tells us that the law was given to drive us to a trust in the promise God gave to Abraham. It shows us the holiness of God. When Abraham was tested and when he passed the test of obedience by offering his only son Isaac on the altar at the command of God, he went through with, can you imagine? God had promised him when he finally got this son, God told him, "Go and give him an offering to me." It was a type of the sacrifice of Jesus. He was Abraham's only son. But Abraham said, I can't hold it back. And he said, if he dies, God will raise him up because God has had a promise. He made a promise. God will keep his promise. God repeated again his promise to him at that time when he provided the sacrifice, the lamb. And he told him again, "I'm going to make of you." He says, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. He's telling Abraham this. But Abraham didn't ever see it, did he? But it was fulfilled through him. There are some promises that God gives to you that you can allow them to come through you and they will be fulfilled. But that doesn't mean that you're going to see them right now in this life. Abraham and Sarah saw the birth of their promised son, Isaac, but they did not see a fulfillment beyond that. Many centuries later, God multiplied them into a great nation, and you see today, the impossible has been possible. What nation? Is there any nationality that has been, for 4,000 years, has maintained and still comes together? They still have their language? It doesn't happen, but it did for them. In Hebrews, the writer says, all these people, there where he's talking about those people of faith that looked for God, took hold of God's promises, all these people, those who are known for their faith, were still living by faith when they died. They were still believing the promise that God had made for them, to them. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Sometimes we have the idea that we want God to bring all of the blessings right now here where we are. Right now is what I wanted. God has some special things in store for us. But we may not see all of it fulfilled. We will see some of it, I'm sure, as we put our hope in Him and our anchor in Him. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. When they say it, you know, they recognize there were foreigners. Do you think you're a foreigner here? You're a foreigner here in this earth. You really don't. You weren't meant to live here very long. You know, we want to hang on as long as we can, but we really are foreigners. And they would have had an opportunity to return here if they had wanted. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Jesus said, if it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. His promise is true. He is God to prepare a place for those who trust in Him and put their anchor in Him. God faithfully keeps His promises. The existence of the Jewish people as a nation today and the spread of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world is proof that this is so. You cannot read this history and say God doesn't keep, He absolutely keeps His promises. There's a song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. There are a lot of girls, there are a lot of guys that lean on this sweet person that they think is so, just going to fulfill their dreams. You cannot count on an individual because they're just human. They're just human. They make mistakes. They don't always follow through with something. They may mean to. They may be good people. But God is the only one who is absolutely an anchor for our souls. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, when I fail to see Him, I rest on His unchanging grace. When I can't see Him in my life, I rest on that promise. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. God is a secure anchor for our lives and for our souls. It's in some marriage counseling, my husband did more of that than I, but you can ask, why is it that you want to marry this person? Well, he makes me feel good. It's not enough, is it? Why do you want to marry this person? Do you have the same hopes and aspirations? It's a big decision. I've got a granddaughter that's now, she says she's going to get married. And I like the guy. I don't know too much about him, but I like him because we had a dinner at our house, a big dinner, and he said, Mrs. Halsey, I won't leave without sweeping the mess up. Let me stay and do all that. Maybe he wanted some brownie points. But anyway, he got them with me. But you know, We cannot just say, I give up. There are people, young people and older people, who say, well, I'm just going to take my life. If I've lost that person, nobody is worthy of your life except Jesus. He gave his life for you, but he wants your life. He wants you to live for him, not die for him, live for him. And then if you come to the point that you have to give your life, so be it. But the anchor holds in spite of the storm. The sails may be tattered and torn, but the anchor that is the one who is anchored to Christ, it is solid foundation. Amen. If you today have watched this telecast or broadcast and you have not anchored your life in Jesus Christ, I beseech you, I beg you to make that decision, the greatest choice you can ever make. I talked to somebody the other day who said, well, I don't know, I haven't read the Bible. They didn't even know the story about David and Goliath. I've never heard of it. I've never, how could that be? Do you know what? We need to read the Word of God and see how the God fulfills his promises. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. Jesus, he's before the foundation of the world, it was destined that Jesus would die to take away your sins and my sins. And we owe it to him to give him our lives, to live our lives and put our anchor and trust in him. Not a human, but in him. So today as I pray, I trust you will make that decision. And if not, later. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that draws us to you. Thank you, O God, for the conviction of your presence today. I pray if there's somebody that's listening today who has not yet accepted you as the anchor for their souls, for their lives, that they will make that choice, that decision to follow you. Put their trust in you, O God, because there is no one else in whom we can lead. Others will fail us, not on purpose. They don't mean to. But they're just human. But you will never fail us. I thank you. I pray that you will recognize, Lord, that we have sinned against you. But we pray that you will forgive because you have promised that you will forgive. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We accept it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We thank you for watching the telecast today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May the Lord bless you and give you a wonderful week as you trust in him and put your anchor in him. He will never fail you. Just take it off. That just doesn't want to turn off. Bob can't see it, and I can't reach it. We've got a dilemma there. I know that we have things to pray about. We need to pray about people that are not here. I know Joan has been sick, and she asked that we pray for her. And we will do that. We miss the people who are not here. This is a family. And when you're